Ho, 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 lo, and welcome to a very special festive episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's holiday-infused episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Christmas Eve Weekly.
Yay! No one's going to understand why I'm happy that you got that right yet, because we've already recorded a New Year's Eve special, New Year's Day, I should say, special, and Pat forgot that, well, didn't realise, and said, what did you call it? The Christmas Monthly.
No, I just think I don't remember even what I called it. I don't know. That was yesterday, so it was ages ago already.
Yeah, that's like a lifetime ago. Well, Merry Christmas Eve to everybody. Happy holidays. Hope everyone's having fun. Thank you for all the comments already in the chat. Just a few heads ups. There's been like sort of breaking news so that I couldn't get any kind of preparation video done in time for that particular thing. But then we've been chatting about it and we don't even think it's like brand new news anyway. So we'll get to that at the end. Anyway, that aside, we also had a technical issue beforehand. So if this stream does cut off, I'm extremely sorry, but there's not much we can do about it. We'll just try and go out again as soon as we can. Anyway, Pat, how are you doing, buddy, on this eve of Crimbo?
Crimbo? I've never heard that one.
That is a British term, definitely.
Okay. I'm doing just fine. I pretty much did all my family visiting and everything the other day, so it's just relaxed Christmas Eve for me. I'm not working today.
I thought you were going to say, I did all my family visiting last year, so I'm just taking this one off, is what you...
Yeah, I've seen them all before.
I know what they look like. Nothing's changed, so it's fine. Merry Christmas to everyone that's saying it in the comments. Thanks to everyone that's jumping on. Really appreciate it, guys. RKW1138 is kicking off with some knowledge. Got my Tiger Force RAM today. 40% off from Hasbro Pulse. They will probably have to give them away. Well, not in your case, RKW, because you got one. Interesting. Let's hope Chris can defrost his body in time. I managed to do so. I've also got really like cozy in this room because I'm in like a room near the edge of the building, so I'm feeling that the fact that it's like minus a trillion outside. Where, how cold is it everywhere for everyone? Because it is chilly out here. What about you, Pat? Is it cold where you are?
For me, it was, you know, in the negatives yesterday, and then today I woke up and I was actually relatively warm, so I'm hoping that I didn't just run the furnace unnecessarily. One of those learning thermostats, and really it's a do whatever it wants thermostat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like being in Jamaica today. I feel like being in the Arctic today, yeah.
Well, yesterday when I woke up, it just thought that I wasn't home, so it had the temperature turned way down.
Were you, like, being really still, or were you in, like, a box, like in Metal Gear Solid, so it couldn't see you?
It detects my phone being around.
Ah.
So, yeah.
People are saying it's up to 20 degrees Fahrenheit in some places, 6 degrees Fahrenheit, 23 Fahrenheit, 11 degrees here in NYC, practically springtime, minus 9 Celsius. We're going to get some crossover, measurements going on. A lovely minus 22 centigrade here was, sorry, yeah, minus 36 yesterday.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we had a wind chill of minus 30 something on a temperature of around zero. So we were, yeah. I don't know if that counts.
It counts when it's blowing in your face. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. It was
anyway,
pretty bad.
This is Christmas Eve. Hope everyone's having an interesting morning or a happy one or a good one. another parody account's kicking off. Brilliant. It's like, everyone's going to think I am that like as if I could do that at this moment. I could even get a breaking news segment ready in time, let alone set up a parody account. Anyway, we're going to get stuck into the show. We've got a little bit of news for you guys. And then we'll just do our usual chat rubbish about things and or trash, yeah, and then move on. Anyway, first up, we have a little bit of classified news to talk about.
Wow, that escalated quickly. We reported last week that the Crimson Bat was already in hand for one lucky reviewer, and followed that with CoverGirl appearing soon after, and now it would appear as though Hasbro Pulse have begun the process of shipping these two particular figures to customers who pre-ordered from their Pulse EU website. In addition to that, the Mad Marauders Barbecue has also appeared on the Pulse EU site as in stock as well, so it is very likely we will see this full wave fulfilled early in the new year. With the Retro Crimson Guard showing up in Canada already, then it's fair to say that the distribution plan has well and truly been torn up and utilised for bog roll, but this only means that we should be seeing all of these figures in the rest of the world very soon, and that is fine by me. I'm excited to see these figures in hand, and especially CoverGirl, seeing as she is brand new to the line. It would appear as though Classified Silly Season is still upon us, so get ready for even more figures in 2023. I think we can all expect a new live event soon as well, with even more pre-orders and reveals.
Yes. Oh, sorry. There we go. It's just one of those days, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah.
People once again seeing how the sausage is made. It didn't take very long for me to say the word sausage either. But there you go. Classified Silly Season update, and currently we've got CoverGirl, Crimson Bat, and now Slaughter's Marauders Barbecue kind of eking their way out into Europe. I've got a feeling we're going to be seeing these figures pretty soon in the US as well, but also probably the whole wave. And with that said, do you think we're going to have another Outback situation with one or two of them?
What do you mean? Like where it gets cancelled over and over again?
Where it gets like drawn out and delayed, and like one figure is just really difficult to get hold of. Like, I don't know, maybe Outback, who's in this wave and has not been mentioned yet.
Well, I mean, maybe. I didn't really think about it that way. If it's something related to just maybe the production of that mold was delayed or something, and then maybe it would delay his way into the wave. I don't know. I think that probably was I don't want to call it an isolated situation.
An anomaly.
That was more of just a target thing, because yeah. I've had that happen before with Transformers that were target exclusives. So yeah. I don't think that's going to happen with anything in this wave, because this is like a mass retail wave,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good answer. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear you say, no, that's not going to be the case. That's all I need. Because like, obviously, it just seems like every week or so, we're getting a new figure added to this wave that is showing up or being shipped or in stock or something along those lines. So I'm kind of excited to start seeing these now. And of course, we've still got Outback and Falcon in this wave as well to come. So that's like, you know, we're nearly there. And I still, like, you can usually kind of count it pretty well. Like, as soon as it's seen in Europe, in the UK, it's not long afterwards you're seeing it in the States. And sometimes, in some cases, Canada's been getting stuff a lot sooner. But it really doesn't seem to be, you know, like an actual pattern. It seems to be like sometimes Europe and EU and the UK get it first. Sometimes Canada gets it first. It's always out in the Far East first, obviously, because it's like, you know, it's right there. But this, I will say that the only pattern that has emerged is that US gets everything last. When did this start happening?
Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, maybe they've prioritized getting it to the UK since the Pulse, things are only available in Pulse now in the UK.
Yeah.
So maybe they've tried to soften that by making sure that supplies are good going there. Yeah. Maybe that's part of it. But they were always getting this stuff, it seemed, in recent years earlier. So
yeah. And I know a lot of the times they would get it on import, so that makes more sense for them to get it in that thing. But when it turned into a more official line of you know, getting stuff from Hasbro, it still seemed to get there a lot quicker. Ed says, maybe this was the originally planned three-figure wave, and Falcon and Outback were added to it to make a five-figure wave, so they're going to hit a little later. It's possible, Ed, that's the case. I do believe that there were obviously, there were three-figure waves. I do think Falcon originally was in the three-figure wave, though. But that, you never know. We might see him soon. We might see that he's also, you know, getting shipped or whatever. And also, it probably doesn't make... It's not always necessarily that figures are delayed because of the production process. It could be that the figures are delayed because only this amount of figures could fit on that particular container, and this amount of figures could fit on that particular container, and so on and so forth. And then in the way that they were shipped, the, you know, you're waiting on stuff on a different ship and a different container. There's a very high possibility that could be the case. And there's a lot of stuff going out too when you think about it. You know, thousands of blooming figures. It's it must, like, I can't even imagine what it was like even before COVID, the logistical nightmare of producing things in this quantity and then shipping it. I just can't get my head around the hideous logistical nightmare of all of that from conception, you know, from like idea conception to delivery. It's like mind-boggling for me that it ever gets anywhere, let alone, like, you know, on a ship.
Yeah, the thing that's also interesting to me is how things have kind of changed since there's such an emphasis now on online purchases, that, you know, what is a wave and isn't a wave together almost becomes not as important, since some of the figures are getting released earlier than other figures, since online fulfillment is done, you know, per figure whenever they ship them to the retailers.
Are you concerned in any way about maybe the quality, if a lot of this is getting kind of like sped up, rushed out? Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, I was really excited. I think I mentioned the other day, I was excited about my holiday Optimus Prime, and I was like, oh, you know, he's fine. I'm good, because I'd heard about some people having, actually, I saw a lot of people reporting on that one that there were quality control issues. I went to transform him back into truck mode, which I really hadn't paid attention to. He's in truck mode in the package, pulled it out, transformed it, had him set up. I went to put it back and realized, oh, he has two lower left arms. I can't transform him back into truck mode. So, like, the bulk of those seem to be defective.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I could see that happening a lot easier on a Transformer because of the complexity of all of the parts and all of the design and the engineering and stuff. So I can see that happening more, like, and being more of an issue, honestly, because that then affects the transformation, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of defective stuff. My Cobra Officer and Trooper 2-pack from the O-ring stuff was missing the bipod.
Oh, right.
I can't remember what else. It feels like every couple months I'm actually contacting Hasbro customer care. It really does feel that way. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is a bit of frustration. And, you know, like, I can imagine that, you know, obviously they're not doing it on purpose and these things do happen, but you do get to the point sometimes where you're like, if this is, like, you know, the third or fourth time you've contacted them, you know, you kind of got to think there are issues going on here in the quality control aspect. And I think a lot of those issues are coming out because of the backlog of things they've got to get out of the factory. Like, I feel like that's really the be all and end all of it, is that corners might be getting cut due to the fact that they just got to get stuff out and it's got to get moving so that the backlog can, you know, can be alleviated in order to continue doing, you know, or trying to get into a rhythm of doing something with a bit more care and precision. So I understand the problem, and I think it is a problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, definitely think there is one. Thankfully, and I will say this, like, you know, genuinely, I haven't had many issues at all with, like, the classified figures I've been getting.
Were your Vipers mismatched in the 3-pack?
Because no.
I didn't buy that set, but I've seen a ton of people reporting that the colors were mismatched or that their forearms just weren't painted at all.
That was a problem that I thankfully didn't have to suffer. The only quality control issue I can really think of that was really bad, or that's been bad enough to be, like, you know, noticeable, I would say, has been Stalker's lower legs. Like the knees are really loose. So like you can you know, stand him up, you can kind of all do that stuff, but then like he has been a little bit lower in the lower legs. And I know that isn't necessarily a problem on Stalker for lots of other people. They're not having the loose knees kind of scenario. So I don't know what that was about. I'm probably going to do something customizable on it to kind of like deal with that. Cause it, you know, that I don't, it's not like super bad that he's like falling over. It's not like Sergeant Slaughter from the Triple T Sarge, where you do that and the legs just go, woo. That's been the only one really, honestly. That's a good show, actually, RKW. Actually, let's get some comments here. Captain K023 says the barbecue I saw in hand on FB had some paint smear with the blue and green meat on the chest. That's probably not surprising. If they're like we just talked about the you know, the possibility of like quality control issues in the rush of trying to get everything out, I'm not surprised to hear that. Are you?
No, not really. I mean, I hate to think that that's what it is, because I always kind of thought that the reason why I had a larger amount of issues that were defective things was because I was just buying too many toys. You know, the more that you buy, you increase the chance of getting something that's defective.
Absolutely.
But it's been really bad across the last year. But yeah, I do think that a lot of it was the rush of production. Yeah. It's a shame to say, but I think that's a large part of it.
Yeah. What else we got going on? Ryan says, Merry Christmas Eve. Growing up, I was always allowed to open one toy, usually a G.I. Joe, this night. We never did, I never did presents on Christmas Eve. We would do, it was like Christmas morning, I would have like, Santa would have delivered a stocking that had a special stocking that had some little kind of stocking filler prezzies in it, right? So I'd wake up to that and I'd always like miss him or whoever it was that put it there, if you know what I mean. I'd always like, you know, I'd be up till like really late or too excited to even comprehend what was going on. You know, like I was just so excited. Plus mom and dad used to tell me if I listened really carefully, I could hear the sleigh bells. So I would do that. I would like painfully try and listen until I heard them. And sometimes I'd convince myself that I'd heard them, or I did, and I'm living in a movie. And basically, so I'd get that little stock in and I'd open those presents first thing, like, you know, in the morning and with mom and dad. And then later on, in the day, we'd have, you know, the family get together and everything, and we'd have dinner. And then after dinner, we'd open presents together in like a circle formation, one at a time. So that's how that worked in our house, Ryan. But it's nice that you got some Christmas Eve stuff. What was yours like, Pat, in that sense?
We usually had like, it was usually like a family thing of, we would get, like if I was getting a shirt or something for Christmas, usually that was the thing that would be opened on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Because, you know, as a kid, you're digging through all the toys and wondering, is that Soundwave there? Is that Soundwave? And you open it up and it's a shirt. It's like, You know, I don't want to sound ungrateful or a bad kid, but there were a lot of socks as well when I was little. So
it's funny. Like I saw a thing of like, a meme, I think it was, where a load of it was like men waiting for their pants and socks on Christmas so that they can get rid of, and this guy's standing there with his pair of pants on, holes and then all of them. And I'm not even kidding, I was that person, and I have been that person recently. I had to buy some pants recently, and it just got to the point where it was like, I'm not putting anything on. It's like the framework of a pair of underpants I'm putting on there. It's like I'm putting scaffolding around my junk. So what's the point? It's like, it's not going to protect anything. It's not going to stop people. If my trousers come down, it doesn't matter. There's
you
nothing
just get
there.
Credit for having done it. That's all.
Effectively, I'm just putting an uncomfortable waistband around. It's like, yeah, what am I doing? It's ridiculous. Anyway, that was hilarious. And yes, Ryan, Merry Christmas to you as well, bud. This is a great question, Pat, and one I will throw out there because we just saw that Canada are getting their Crimson, well, I just saw, this has been like the last couple of weeks, Canada got their retro Crimson Guards. I've seen a few kind of sprinkled around reviewers and people out in like the Far East, and I think even in Europe. What happened to retro Storm Shadow and Zartan? Like, where are they in the current distribution scenario?
I think those are left into the chaos of Walmart's exclusives, which is a thing of its own. Because I've talked to people that work at Walmart, and they tell me no. You know, every Walmart, where there's an exclusive, they all get an allocation. But I know that with Transformers, and especially like I can remember Marvel, the Marvel Universe 3¾ figures, like they had that wave that those exclusives that were like the Giant Man figure, and those, like the Walmart near me had an end cap full of those, and then nobody online could find them.
Yeah,
and maybe that's been a long time, but it does feel like here that I know which Walmart to go to get the Walmart exclusives, and that's the Walmart, and there's another one that I can travel half an hour to the other direction, and that one will sometimes have them. But the ones that are like on my normal, you know, trip to work,
yeah,
forget it.
Yeah, forget about it. Anyway, to answer your question, RKW, not a clue. I think I've asked that question in the video that I posted about this particular thing in the Newsburst Extra. Damien, do they solve the problem at Hasbro Customer Care at least? I don't think I've ever actually tried that. I've had one issue and they've solved it for me. So yeah, I mean that in that case. But what about you, Pat?
Sort of.
Right.
You usually do not get the toy that you... Oh, I remember what the other one was that I had the quality control with this year was Duke and Cobra Commander, because the bubbles were melted.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
Like, and you could see there was a colored... like a change in the color on Cobra Commander's hands because the bubble had actually melted to them. Wow. So I didn't want to open it up and, you know, like not be able to take a picture that they may need of the melted bubble. So they actually wanted that one back. That's the first time that I've had a situation where they wanted it back.
That's interesting.
And I think that may have been so that they could send it off to their quality control people or to test the bubbles, or I don't know why, but I think there may have been more to the fact that they wanted that one back, because usually they just require photographic evidence. They require the production stamps, the information from that, and then they will send you something of equal or greater value. And it's not always the thing that's what you ordered. And I was nervous on that one. So we had a bit of a back and forth, and I was like, no, I'm not sending you this until I know you're going to send me the same thing, rather than just getting in the mail, you know, something at random. Because a lot of times it's something that they have quite a lot of that they're trying to get rid of. That's not that great for me.
Is it? That isn't like... If they have plenty of in stock of that item, though, I would be like, no, I want that. Like, because I don't, Duke and Cobra Commander were like in stock for blooming age, probably still are. So that should never have been an issue of getting something different.
Right. And you'll be contacting back and forth. I guess the best thing somebody told me to do is to call, because then you can be on the phone having the back and forth a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Than what I usually do, which is to send an email.
Yeah.
But I did have like, there was an exclusive RC figure where part of mine was just completely unpainted.
Right.
And I contacted them and they had them in stock, and the customer care person was like, yeah, it definitely won't be that figure. I'm like, well, why not? There's one in stock. They're like, sorry. And so I bought one, and then I got shipped like, I think a Jetfire or something. It was like cost twice as much. So yeah, I ended up winning, but I don't understand why they wouldn't just send me the thing that I bought that was in stock at the time.
Yeah, it's like, no, we want to lose money on this and also not, you know, satisfy the customer.
That's
two very odd business decisions there. Anyway, Damien, hope that answers that question for you. Oh, my word. Matt O'Brien. Happy Saturday, gents. I've missed a few of these live streams recently, but glad to be catching this one. Just wanted to wish both of you and your families a happy and safe Christmas. Love you guys and the show as always. Matthew O'Brien, how dare you? No, I'm kidding. That is amazing. Thank you so much, buddy. We really appreciate your incredible support. And thank you so much for that wonderful, a wonderful gift. Christmas gift. It's a Christmas miracle, Pat. Just kidding. But thank you, Matt. You're a good lad. And we really appreciate it. RKW 1130. It's the Santa always drunk my booze. Yeah. Weird that, isn't it? I'd put out, was it, what did we put out? Is it port or rum? I can't remember what you put out. And some cookies for the, or carrots for the reindeer and all that kind of stuff. Did you ever do that, Pat?
Oh, yeah. We did that. I don't remember putting out carrots, but we did cookies for sure. And then they were, you know, there were a few crumbs left in the morning. Yeah. And I waited out. I can remember waiting out for Santa peeking underneath my door, hoping to hear something.
Yeah, I would do that so often.
Yeah.
I still do it. Joe VM, happy Christmas to Diecast Nick, he says. Hi, Joe VM, thank you very much. Really appreciate that. And also, yeah, happy Christmas to Diecast Nick. Oh, that's your son. That's amazing. I didn't realize that. Well, thank you, Joe VM. And also, Merry Christmas to Diecast Nick. Awesome. Thank you guys, really appreciate these. Super appreciate all of the, you know, the support and the super chats and stuff. It's amazing. And again, Matt O'Brien, I had a quality control issue with Serpentor when he arrived and they shipped me out a new one at no charge. They've been really good with me. That's good. I think that's it's just really Pat. Good. I think it's just Pat. I think, you know, I've had good experience. Matt's had a good experience. I think they just see they see the name Patrick Stewart and they're like, what can we get out of this guy?
Yeah, I'm thinking how far back I've had issues where they've been sending me other things, and like I can remember built to roll stuff that I was missing pieces. My rock, that old direct to consumer vehicle, was missing part of the turret. I've had a lot of interactions
It sounds like you've had a lot of bad luck with this.
It's a lot. Yeah, I've considered just making a list and having like an end of the year roundup of crazy things that were entirely wrong when I bought them.
You should definitely do that, because I'll do the same thing and I'll just be sitting there in silence while you go on and on and on about yours. And then mine at the end will just be like, right, that's the show. Right, see you guys on the next. Neil, thank you, Matt, as well, again, for another. You don't have to keep doing super chats, by the way. We really appreciate you, absolute legend, but thank you very much. Neil Hill says Pulse customer care is actually pretty good, at least in my experience. Sean got some Crimson Guards yesterday. Were they the standard ones or the retro ones, Sean? Let us know, because I'm intrigued.
I wonder if Lady J and Baroness need to sell through a little bit better before more retro stuff shows up in store. Do you think that might be an issue?
I don't really, maybe from Walmart's perspective. I don't know really. It's hard to say. I just, why would Crimson Guards be out already, but none of the others? It just seems I suppose they've obviously piggybacked on the last Crimson Guard production run. That's what it appears to me like, because that makes logistical sense.
That does make sense. Yeah.
So that's probably what's happened there, and that's why they're so like ahead of schedule on that. Anyway, should we move on? Because otherwise we're going to be here months, aren't we? Right, guys. Next up, then, we've got a little bit. You'll like this, because Pat and I are going to talk about the recent Kidults news.
A story broke in the week courtesy of CNBC, highlighting the two factors keeping the toy industry afloat right now: inflation and a consumer group known as Kidults. Terrible buzzwords aside, the NPD Group report explained that the sector, whose age range is basically 12 and up, is responsible for one quarter of all toy sales annually. That's around $9 billion, and are the biggest driver of growth throughout the industry. The report also explained that Kidults, who tend to spend more on toys, have a great fondness for cartoons, superheroes and collectibles that remind them of their childhood. They buy merchandise such as action figures, Lego sets and dolls that might typically be considered for kids. However, in recent years, toy makers have created product lines just for these consumers, realizing that demand is high for this generation of adults who still want to have fun. For most, this was a no-brainer based on recent years, and considering the huge amount of adult collector-oriented and focused product added to the way children interact with toys nowadays, it just seemed very obvious that this would be the case. That said, the fact they are including ages 12 to 17 makes me feel like the numbers might be slightly skewed here, but I doubt it would look drastically different taking that range out of the equation. In any case, congratulations, kidults. We are keeping this thing alive.
Right, first up, I'm also in the boat of hating terrible marketing buzzwords, right? And I think most people do, because it's one of those things where, especially when you're in the fandom, or you're in this community, or you're doing this thing, and then all of a sudden something mainstream happens. It's like a news story, or, you know, a national news story, or something happens, or whatever, and it becomes like a bigger thing. But for that small period of time, it has to, you know, everyone's like, it's all on everyone's mind. All of a sudden we get into this situation where these silly little terms kind of get picked up. And it's something we've never used. It's something, you know, we don't really like, we don't like associate the collectibles necessarily with children. Toys, yes, but like in terms of like collectibles, where they've got like an age sticker on it of like 14 and up, because like, you know, little kids can't use them, or, you know, little small parts or whatever it may be. So there's all these little like nuances, and it gets boiled down to this very simple thing of, it's just basically adults acting immature. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of, I think that does harm people's perception of what it is we're actually doing and enjoying from this hobby. Like, it's, I don't know, it's definitely one of those things, isn't it, where it's like, let's do a quick buzzword and then have the kind of more commercial mass appeal kind of come in and effectively make judgments based on those buzzwords.
Yeah, right. It's a little bit weird. This feels like something that could quickly become a negative label.
Yeah. It's already like, there, like, I think.
Fast. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I don't really see what I do as being that abnormal at all, or that different than what came in the past. You know, people have always liked trinkets of some sort, whether or not they come from the toy industry, or, you know, people, whenever adults were looking at me as a teen and thinking I was strange, but yet they have a shelf full of Hummel gift shop figurines, it's like, well, those, how is this really different?
Yeah.
You know, and I think as far as I've also always viewed it as entertainment that is like a physical thing. You know, you have like movies that are visual, you have music that is audio. I guess movies are audio and visual. And, you know, and this is just like a physical thing that is entertaining to me. So really, how is that really any different? It isn't.
Can I just... Oh. Sorry, I've got to pose this from Ed. Kidult equals kid ultimate.
That's right. We didn't want to grow up because we were Toys R Us kids. You take away Toys R Us and we've attained our true form.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just an evolution of a Pokemon, isn't it? That's what's happened. We're just at, like, you know, the full evolution end. Anyway, RKW's like, I prefer Ultra Nerd. I like it. They'll just call us Ultras, which is something completely different. I don't know. It's just kind of, it makes me laugh, honestly. And I see it, and then I'll see a news story, and then the news story is boiled down to the absolute lowest common denominator minimum explanation of anything, because it has to be, to a certain degree. You can't go into, it's not like they can get into the details and the nuance of every single different fandom inside all of these, you know, things. It's just like, you know, they lump everything in together, and yeah, it's just kind of hilarious to me. Anyway, it's not a surprise either, though, is it? Let's take the, like I said, the annoying buzzword scenario out of the equation. This is not something that I'm surprised at in the slightest. Were you, when you heard about the kind of numbers being involved?
No, this feels like something like you walk into any Target, and this is something that is obvious to me. Like, sure, there are aisles that are not like the adult targeted aisle, but like in my Target, there's that back section that has a lot of like the Funko stuff and the NECA stuff. But then there's a whole other aisle that has similar things. And then you walk down the Lego aisle and you know, they have all that black box stuff that is definitely not meant for just, you know, a kid walking in with his allowance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And spending $200.
A couple of people are mentioning the fact that as well, this is, I think, again, this is more like semantics based on a very stupid term that doesn't really boil it down. If they're talking 12 years and up, kiddle doesn't quite, I don't think, like, you know, I don't think 12.
No.
14, 15. I think 16 and up, I would be like, okay.
Yeah.
I think the term makes sense then. So I think this is more semantics.
It almost felt like they started with what they wanted to have as an article and then looked for the numbers that they needed to include in order to make their fact a fact.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. They went through the report and they took what they wanted and made it the story based on that. Yeah, yeah, totally. So yeah, I think, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just makes me laugh. Another good one here from Neil. I like the term kid alt, an alternate type of kid, a grown-up. Brilliant. Yeah, I don't know. I think it is one of those things, isn't it? Like it's all kind of contextual as well, because there'll be people that kind of like sneer, look down on people that buy toys from a certain age, right? But then you look at their buying habits, so that particular person, and there would probably be a similar sneering or looking down on something that they're spending their money on, whether it be, I don't know, certainly something we don't think is worth the money they're spending on it, or something that is equally just as specifically collectible, but just not a toy because it's been branded as a toy or whatever you want to say. So like there's always going to be stuff like this. And I think if we were to kind of do like if we just look at the report numbers and kind of and split some of those age ranges up, I would find it more interesting to know what 25 to, you know, 25 and up,
yeah,
like what that is doing within inside the toy industry than like, because I still feel like I expect certain kids of a certain age to still collect toys. I felt like I had to stop societal wise when I went to high school. So I was like 11, 12 when I went to high school in the UK. And so I kind of stopped doing that then and then didn't pick it up again until after high school. So, and even then it was just like, you know, the odd thing, feeling super embarrassed that I might be in a toy shop or whatever and just trying to get out before anyone saw me kind of thing.
That's where my little brother was. So helpful for me, because, you know, he'd be there with me. He was 9 years younger than me. It's like, you know, because I was getting the pressure to stop collecting toys, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I kind of
wish I hadn't had some of the experiences I'd had in that time period. I've talked about them before on the show. I won't bore everyone with that. But anyway, that's this story. I don't think we need to get into too much detail on it. I mean, and I don't want to have to say the term again for the rest of the episode. So I'm not going to. Right. I will move on to the next news item then, which is, again, I feel like that this is a little bit, we're on a bit of a downer at the moment, and it's only going to go a little bit further down. And I've got some comments on this one as well. But this is in Nerf news.
It would appear as though Hasbro have decided to cancel the G.I. Joe 40th Anniversary Nerf crossover, as a number of cancellation emails flooded inboxes on Tuesday. The crossover was revealed during PulseCon, including a special cover for issue 300 of the A Real American Hero comic. Currently, there's no official reason behind the cancellation. As soon as we find out, we will let you know on the social platforms. As disappointing as the news is, I wasn't necessarily excited for the product. It was a bit too busy from a design perspective and felt thrown together. My excitement came from the possibility of a line of actual G.I. Joe related blasters, like the Sunbow laser rifle and so on, but I imagine the weak rollout of this product might have damaged any chances of that happening in the future.
Yeah, this is a bit of a sad one, actually, I think. Well, multiple different things.
A bit of a sad one.
Yeah, you heard, obviously, me mention in the actual video there that I wasn't really that keen on the design in the first place, Pat. Let's talk about that first. Obviously, when that was revealed, I was excited that Nerf and G.I. Joe were doing a collaboration, but I really wasn't buzzing about the actual item itself. A lot of stuff going on there, wasn't there, design-wise?
Yeah, I've bought a lot of Nerf in the last 3 years. My nephew took to Nerf, and so it was like, oh, you like Nerf? The floodgates are open. I'm buying a ton of it. So I've quite familiar. I've looked at the review websites. So looking at these, I know exactly what we were in for. But you said it in the video. The word was busy. That I'm like, yep, that's a big part of the problem here. Whenever I saw that these were canceled, I could only imagine in my head a meme. And I didn't end up making it because I thought it would be mean for me to make it, but it'd be great. The Rachel McAdams meme from Mean Girls and her saying, stop trying to make the Rise of Cobra logo happen. It's not going to happen.
That's so true. That is so true. Why have they pushed that Rise of Cobra logo?
I have no idea.
Much?
I even wondered, like, that was an issue back during the Pursuit of Cobra days, that they had to take that off because Paramount had involvement in creation of that logo, and so Therefore we're going to get royalties. So it was like, was that part of the reason why this was canceled? I would imagine they would just take that off.
Yeah.
If pre-orders were good, they would have just dropped that from it.
I remember them on the actual stream saying that it was like, you know, different eras of G.I. Joe were trying to be like put all over it. But I'm just like, you know, I don't think this needed to happen. Like, I feel like if they want, like, it just seemed like I don't know. I mean, they obviously didn't want to go full force into doing a line of G.I. Joe blasters, because that for me would have made more sense. Like an actual branded, like, little range, you know, like, to start with the first one, but actually make it an original item. And the Sunbow laser rifle to me just seems like an absolute no-brainer. Like, get something like that in the line and you're done. Like, straight away, people are going to be all over that stuff. RKW just mentioned the Aliens M41A they did. That is awesome. And it's like such a great little crossover. So I think it would have been great to do something a little bit more brand, you know, iconic. Yeah.
It's weird with Nerf. Whenever you actually make a new mold of something that is a licensed thing, generally speaking, it's not a very good or useful Nerf.
Yeah.
Gun, blaster, I should say. But they're generally not that good compared to the performance of the other things. And this one, actually, I'm pretty sure that this is a flywheel. Is this a flywheel one? I think it is. I think it's one of the ones that has a motor. Yeah, it has the lower trigger. So this one actually would have been one of the ones that would have performed pretty well. You know, doesn't have a large magazine size. I probably would have wanted one of the Nerf rival ones to be one of the G.I. Joe branded things. But these would have been like relatively good Nerf guns. But the amount of deco that they put on them too, I can't imagine that it was a cheap one to produce.
No.
I think that they should have just gone, they should have, if they were going to test the waters to see how much G.I. Joe fans would have gone out for a Nerf thing, I think that if they were going to do a G.I. Joe and a Cobra thing, do what they did with like Deadpool with the dual rival pistols.
Yeah.
You know, rival appeals a little bit more to an older crowd.
Yeah.
Those things, they work really well. And if they would have just done like a dual thing, like there's enough deco here to go on two blasters. It's just that it concerns me that we won't ever get to that stage where we are getting what I really want, which is what you said, which is like the Sunbow Snowdrop rifle.
Yeah.
That's what I really want.
I when I heard that the Nerf collab was happening, that's where my mind went. It went to the Snowdrop rifle. It went to the laser pistol that a lot of them use, but I always see Flint using it. So I always have Flint's pistol, even though they all use it. You know, those are the kind of places I went to.
Cobra Commander's blaster.
Commander's hairdryer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. You know, but then also, what were the ones that also stick in my head?
Zartan's pistol always stands out for me.
What's the one that's like the Crimson Twins pistols, I think I'm thinking of?
Thinking of the like the Sunbow Cobra Trooper gun
that maybe
included with the 25th?
Yeah, maybe. I'm probably thinking
that would also be a really good one. But
anything from the Sunbow card, like the kind of Cobra laser rifle is another one.
I do think there's a market for this. This is just exactly what not to do in order to test it, because it just doesn't look that fun. It's so busy, like you said, to put this on a wall as a display item, it doesn't look that good to me.
No, and it's both. It's like one side is this and one side is that, and it's just like, why?
Couldn't you have had G.I. Joe versus Cobra and done two smaller things?
I don't know. Like two pistols or something. Yeah, like you just mentioned
two pistols. Like I would like to see them regroup and try something different, because the design of this is bad.
Yeah. It really is. And I get what their idea was, to try and get as much on there as possible. But, you know, from a design's perspective, most designers will tell you that's not the way to go. It's like, keep it simple, but, you know, to a degree. And that has not really happened here. It was a bit of a letdown. Another aspect of that as well, there's the obviously email that was from Greg from Anything Joe's. But the other thing that kind of, because obviously we don't have an official reason why this has happened, could be multiple reasons, but could be poor performance from pre-orders, could be anything like that, which, you know, could definitely have, you know, one of those situations where they're like, we're not going to bother doing this and just cut it off. But as soon as we do find out, we'll try and let everyone know. I think that, you know, I just really wish they'd done something original.
Yeah.
Do something original with it, because the brand is pretty strong at the moment. And I guarantee you, I would have picked up that rifle if it was original. I'd have gone for like the Snowjob rifle, or
I think the Snowjob rifle is the surefire thing to do. It's only going to be firing, you know, a couple of darts probably, unless they add a magazine to the bottom, which I guess they could.
They could do that.
They could do that.
And again, like it doesn't have to be. And that's the thing, right? If you wanted, like, you know, if you wanted it as like a cosplay item, that's another thing. You know, if you've got like an actual item there that people would be buying, like the finest would be clearing out stores, getting them, so that everyone has a Sunbow blooming rifle. Because it's not like it's just Snowjob cosplayers that would want that. Do you know what I mean?
Right. It'd be everybody.
It'd be everyone.
I think every cosplayer would buy that one. Everyone would have a use for one of those. I would buy one of those for sure.
Big time. So this is kind of a bit sad at the same, because again, I don't know what it means for the future of that particular collaboration. It could have a lot. It could have one of those effects where it's like you don't see anything from these two coming together again for a while. And it's like, it's a bit sad, but I feel like it was a huge misstep. And I was hoping that it would still sell enough to actually be successful enough so that they could do something. So they thought, there's a market here. But I kind of feel like they have just shot themselves in the foot a little bit. No pun intended. Anyway, there was a pun intended there. The other thing is the comic cover, because you're getting the, you know, the Nerf blooming specific 300 issue 300 cover. So I wonder what's going to happen with that.
Do you think that they would have had those printed already, or do you think that they were would have waited to have gotten the production of? I would think that they would have gotten the production of the gun done first.
Well, I heard from was it Michael Kelly, I believe, on an interview with Talking Joe recently, where they talked about the 300, the issue 300, and that particular cover, and I think he mentioned something along the lines of they ended up doing the printing themselves because of the nature of packing it in with the weapon and all that kind of stuff.
They being who? Hasbro.
Did printing themselves. Hasbro did it themselves. Yeah. Michael Kelly being the like the VP of marketing and all that kind of stuff as well. Like he's one of the major execs for that side of everything. Yeah. So yeah. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have already printed them. And we'll get those in some way, shape, or form, or they're just going to scrap them, or I don't know. But like,
or maybe he was saying that with the plans to do it.
Yeah, maybe very, very possible. So it might not be that they've actually printed any.
I think that they've done a lot of printing things themselves, not just like comic packs, but all that Transformers Shattered Glass stuff. Like,
yeah,
you buy a Shattered Glass Transformer, it comes with a comic book, and I think Hasbro was printing those. Yeah. So I don't think this was new for them or uncharted territory. They probably knew to do the production of the book just as they would production of instructions.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't know, it just seems to be a bit of a mess. It's a shame as well, and like I said, would love to have a Snowjob Sunbow style laser rifle for Nerf. That would be so great. Anyway, that's all we're going to talk about on that one. Let's move on to some bit of Diamond Select Toys news.
A brand new Legends in 3 Dimensions Snake Eyes bust went up for pre-order yesterday. The Snake Eyes statue joins the line already consisting of Destro and Storm Shadow. The bust features a highly detailed sculpt by Rocco Tartamella and a premium deco based on his famous Vintage Version 2, designed by Joe Allard. The bust features the sword hilts poking over his shoulder, the classic visor, that bandolier with the grenades on show, and it rests on a stand emblazoned with the Arashikagi logo. It is 10 inches tall and half scale, and will set you back $200 before tax and shipping, etc. Delivery is expected for quarter 2 of 2023.
And I know, Pat, it's going to be the same thing we talk about each time. It's like, this is nice, but I ain't getting it because obviously we're not statue people.
Okay, next story. Let's move on. No, I'm kidding.
I did want to look at some of the details on him, but again, this is just I find these really cool, but at the same time, I think even if I did have the money, I don't think I'd be a statue collector. Like, even if I had to, you know, if I was in that position where I was like a multi whatever anaire, millionaire, trillionaire, billionaire, whatever, I don't even think I would force myself to try and buy everything with G.I. Joe on it, even though I kind of tried to do that, you know, earlier years. I just don't think I'd be, I don't really see the point of busts. Is that bad to say?
Yeah, busts are a weird thing. I think either you like them or you don't, and they're not my thing. I don't know. I think that it's just the people kind of wanting to see like a nicely detailed face,
which yeah.
becomes extra strange whenever it's a person in a mask to me.
Yeah.
And then how the mask is executed becomes the entire thing.
Yeah.
And then I always fixate on whether or not Snake Eyes should have like the nostrils part of the visor, because, you know, the version 2 figure has that.
Yeah.
But it does look a little weird sometimes.
No, I know, exactly. It kind of looks weird on the vintage figure as well.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, but that was always something that, yeah, you notice as a kid and it's like, oh, interesting. What I will say about it though, yeah, I feel like it's like an opportunity to go really hardcore on the textures and the details on the sculpt to make it really, and it does look fantastic. And even when you flip it round and on the back, the detail on the handles, on the hilts of the swords, just on the design, on the actual like scabbard itself is sensational and it looks great, but then it's like cut off. And like I want to see like a whole statue of this guy. I want to see what the rest of it could be like. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I'm kind of thinking. Like, that would be like obviously loads of money, but that's why I feel like it's an unfinished kind of thing. And again, I can still see the beauty, the detail, the sculpt on it, and I'm still like amazed. But at the same time, it's just like, eh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally get what you mean. I'm wondering, like, even looking at this, I wonder what the other end of Snake Eyes' sword is, because the one on the right usually has like the larger end of the blade, and it's like, well, how does that get released from the, is it a sheath?
Yeah. So when he pulls it out, it's going to catch on the other sword. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's going to catch on the sheath itself, because isn't it? Well, I guess not, because sometimes those are slotted, but yeah, but catching on the other sword. Yeah. I just kind of do wonder what was in their mind for what the rest of this design looked like.
Yeah. That's another thing as well, because there's some interesting like additions on it that aren't necessarily on the original, like the kind of interesting kind of like bandolier with the cross piece. And so there's a mixture of elements going on, I think. But anyway, that is the bust, available now to pre-order if you want to, guys, link in the description, $200 before tax and shipping, of course. But if you are into this, there you go. Again, we're not really that into it, but that doesn't mean we don't find it really cool still and looks awesome. It's just one of those things, isn't it? It's definitely what you said. It's you're either into that kind of thing or you're not. And I'm definitely found over the years, even though I used to buy a lot of statues, but it was because it had a G.I. Joe logo on it more so than anything else.
Yeah.
I think I sold a lot of them, honestly. And I'm not really that. If you've got massive display cabinets and stuff, like I go into Forbidden Planet in London sometimes, and as you walk in, they've got this huge wall on the left-hand side where the checkouts are, basically, the tills and the, where you check out. And it's this big glass cabinet see-through, and it's just all filled with the busts and statues. And they've had G.I. Joe ones in there for donkey's years. So, even if I had that option, I still don't think I'd be a statue person. But anyway, we'll see when it happens. When I become a multi-millionaire, we'll see and we'll test it, shall we? We just need a few more super chats, guys, to help that to happen. Like maybe two or three.
Even if there were super chats, we're not doing busts.
Test us. How many super chats does it take us to become statue people? I'm just kidding, guys. Anyway, that is DST. Let's move on to what has effectively been a little bit of breaking news this morning. So I didn't have enough time to put any kind of pre-video together. So you're just going to get this instead. Yes. So Histank reported earlier, like late last night, early this morning, about the Toy Mini Brands. Classified Duke has been spotted in the Toy Mini Brands in the US. Now, having posted this and spoken to Pat about it, Pat remembers or believes there was a story, right, of this showing up in the UK, which I completely missed, 100%, if that is the case. But is what were your findings on that, Pat?
Whenever I was hunting down this one, the
the world's smallest.
The world's smallest, but it's the one that was in their micro branded things, not mini brands, because mini brands is a different company.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the Super Impulse micro one. When I was hunting that down and looking online for information about it, I did find that there was a Duke that was available. I could swear I found that there was a Duke that was available in one of the mini brands things, but that it had shown up only in the UK.
Right.
And I didn't see this story until, 10 minutes before we started this morning. So I wasn't able to try to hunt down where I found that story. I could have sworn that I saw it on Histank, but not as a news story. I saw it, somebody had posted somewhere in the comments. And if it was on Facebook, it's lost forever. But I think it might have been on Histank somewhere. But I'm gonna look probably when we get off here. I'm going to see if I can find what I was thinking of. It may be something different.
Right.
But I do think I remember the printed background that makes it look like his accessories. I could swear that I've seen this thing before.
That's so sweet. Again, I never saw that that information. So I'm not saying that's the I'm the be all and end all, because that's not the case at all. But I did not see that. So when I saw this, I think this was the first time of me kind of seeing the mini classified figure, which I think is kind of adorable that they're doing that. And already the packaging is kind of out of date, really, isn't it? They're going to have to change that again to windowless for the next wave.
Oh, that's sad. So the micro brands in the future will just be a little box.
Exactly. So it'll be a surprise inside a surprise. You never know what you're going to get. No, I'm kidding. But like, I do like these, and I think they're really cute. And there's a better kind of close up of it. And yeah, you can see there. Now, this is fun. What is funny, Pat, is that I hadn't given it enough thought or like hadn't really focused on it enough to know what we were dealing with here. So when you just said that they're printed in the background on the box, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're not the actual accessories that he comes with. I initially thought, oh, man, he comes with accessories. That's crazy. No, they would be. They would be like they'd be like low lights bullets that you'd be messing around with. So yeah. Anyway, and actually, that's a great idea, RKW. This belongs in a Christmas cracker, absolutely. And that would be brilliant. You have Christmas crackers, right? What do you call them? Where you pull them apart and they make an explosion noise and they have a little toy inside them. Do you not have those?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, guys, explain to Pat in the comments what a Christmas cracker is. Basically,
something you leave out for Santa to eat.
No. It's not a white person that celebrates the holidays. No, basically, they're like these card tubes, right?
Okay.
Decorated, all fancy, hollow, usually like a toilet roll kind of thing, you know, like a little hole, like the little toilet roll cardboard tube. Obviously not that basic, but you know what I'm talking about. Either side, they're like, then like have these like little frilly either side handle bits, right? That once one person holds one end and the other person holds the other end, and you pull the cracker and it snaps in half. And it's got like a little, inside is like a little, you know, the Thunder Punch He-Man, which you put in the back and he punches and it makes the crack sound.
Yeah.
Something like that, but on a bit of card strip. So when that snaps, it makes a cracking sound, right? And then inside, you get a party hat, you get a terrible joke, you get little crappy toys, depending on how much money you spend on the crackers, of course. We got crackers one year that were super fancy, and they had things like, it was a notebook, like a notepad inside, like really fancy one, like leather bound, and like, you know, like really good, like, I don't know, like grooming set and things like really crazy stuff.
So
like
how large would those be, though?
Because not very large. Okay. Like you know, like mini travel things, you know, like like scissors and nail clippers and stuff like that.
Okay.
But like in a little pack, like in a nice fancy pack. And but usually they're terrible. They're like really cheap, like plastic toys. Like there's little frogs that you press on that do flips and things like that. But I cannot believe, Pat, that you've never heard of that term before.
No, I don't know. Anyway. Didn't know what a Christmas cracker. I think that all of the cracking stuff we get out of the way with American 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. Amazing. But what I want you to do, your homework this week, Pat, is to go on YouTube and look at a Christmas cracker in action, if you please. Right. Anyway, this is amazing. I can't believe I've had to explain that. I just thought people understood that. I think yeah, I may have forgotten
maybe
the time.
Something I've never seen, but. I mean, if you're in a Walmart or a Target, I doubt you'll find a Christmas cracker. I mean,
I will say,
you will, but it'll be like a Ritz or something.
Let's pull that in half. Nothing came out. Kate, I do vaguely remember Kate maybe being confused by the whole process when we were in the UK once. So maybe that was a thing that I just forgot wasn't a global thing. I think I've just forgotten it wasn't a global thing. So apologies for our American viewers who are like, what is he talking about? Why is he being like racist? No, Christmas crackers are, they're like things you pull and things fall out of them. Anyway, that's enough now, I think, talking about that. Back to this. I might have to find this, and I hope they do more of them, genuinely. Who would you like to see in this format, Pat?
Well, I've thought about buying a shadow box just to put all this stuff on the wall, like,
yeah,
and mini things like that. I don't know who I would want. I really don't have... I guess if it's going to be a classified figure, I would want it to go by the art. I would say, and one of my favorite things of art so far is Sergeant Slaughter, but
yeah,
I wouldn't want Slaughter because...
We've already got one.
Yeah, it came with it. I don't know. I don't know which classified figure. Maybe Scarlet. I really liked that box. I'm wondering if the side of this,
yeah,
you know, has the same side as the,
you said that, and I'm like, I do this. I'm like looking around the side of the 2D image, like expecting it to, like, that is amazing, McLeod. Right. Okay.
It'd be cool to just get the original team, the original set of classified figures, if they could just build that as a set.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to do something later on, just have the original ones that we originally saw. That would be cool.
Definitely. Jeremy says, Christmas crackers and salad cream, more knowledge being dropped. Yeah, you do learn something on this show every single episode, don't you, Jeremy? I talked about salad cream during the bazooka, Tiger Wolf's bazooka unboxing. Just Google it, Pat. I'm not explaining what salad
I was going to say. I have no idea what that is. I wasn't watching that unboxing.
Oh, thanks. No, I'm kidding. I don't expect you to. Right then. Amazing. Michael Jean Fleming says, I knew about Christmas crackers thanks to a Transformers holiday special, but I've never seen them in the US. See, Pat should have known if it's in a Transformers holiday special. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, but that probably was the UK holiday special. I'm still doing my read through of the Transformers UK that just...
Oh, you're going to get to that.
Started.
You're going to get to that.
Eventually, yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh, I know what that is. Amazing. Okay, well, that's enough about this. Cute little story. Again, just popped up as breaking news today, so I thought we'd squeeze it in there. And as Pat has mentioned, it might already be kind of out there already in the past. Anyway, right now, before we get into shout-outs, we are going to have a little special Christmas competition. Are you ready? Are you ready, Pat?
Sure, I guess so.
Well,
I
you can't
know
enter,
we were going to so do this, but yeah.
You can't enter right. Anyway.
How would you like to get your hands on a G.I. Joe Classified Stalker this holiday season? We are giving away the Joe's first Ranger courtesy of Kokomo Toys, and all you have to do to be in with a chance of winning this beauty is to answer the following question. According to his vintage version 1 file card, in which city and state was Stalker born? Put your answer in an email to thefullforcepodcast@gmail.com. We will pick a winner randomly and announce them on next week's show. You have until Friday the 30th of December at 11:59 p.m. to get your answers in. Good luck, and as always, full force.
Absolutely. We're giving things away, Pat. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I thought that it was going to be you versus me for a second.
You thought another quiz was happening.
Yeah.
That was hilarious, by the way. We'll talk about that in the shout-outs in a sec, but yeah, I really enjoyed watching that. Okay, yes, competition time, guys. If you want the chance to win this cheeky stalker, and we might have some other giveaways next week as well, but we'll have to wait for that. But yes, thanks to Kokomo Toys for giving us a bunch of cool stuff to kind of give away. And obviously one of them is this classified stalker figure. Let us know the answer to that question. What city and state was he born according to his vintage version 1 file card? I'm sure you all know anyway immediately. He's one of those ones that I think a lot of people know a lot about him, more so than some of the other characters, especially like birthplace and name and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's one of the 82 Joes. He's one of the major characters from right at the beginning. So
yeah, it's not a surprise. So anyway, yeah, get stuck in then, guys. And yeah, like I said, email us into the show and we will pick one at random and let you know next week who the winner is. Okay, shout outs then. Let's get stuck into that, Pat. Who have you got for us? I think I know.
It's going to be Philip Donnelly.
Hey.
Yeah, this is our image from our recent Articulated Points episode where we had a bit of a trivia battle between the two of us.
Pat was ruthless on this one. He was like, I could tell Phil had got like some real gimmies in there, and you were just like, no, they're going to be brutal. What was actually interesting though, I was getting them all right because I watched your show. And awesome. it's different when you are like when you watch it, you take more of it in than when you're actually editing, or you just record it once and then you're off. You don't really take it in. Like it's like with the news bursts and things like that. Like if I was watching it, I'd probably have more information and more knowledge than just rinsing through it and then moving on to the next one really quick. So I really enjoyed that, and it was fun because I got all the questions right, by the way. One of them was lucky, but for the most part, I got them all right.
Yeah, I thought that the best thing for me to do, because we each constructed 10 questions that the other hadn't seen before we went live, I thought the best thing for me to do was to make some of them really hard and some of them kind of easy. And they may not have seemed easy, but I knew Philip would get them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he doesn't need them to be that easy, and he will get it. So the ones that I made difficult, yeah, I mean, I was trying to make sure that we didn't have a tie. I didn't want to have the episode end and us both be 10 versus 10. So I thought that he would do the same, but he was so kind to me and made them all questions that I could get. He did have a couple of hard ones, but I did guess on one and I got that one right.
I think I guessed on the same one and got it right too. Yeah. And I was kind of, I said it out loud, and then I remember you saying it, and then Kate was in the room, and I went, you heard I said that right? And she was like, yeah. And then it came up right. And I'm like, I was like really getting into it. I was like, kind of, I've got to get all these right. So yeah, go check that out. It's really funny, guys. Really fun show as well. Thanks to me. I did not do that. But thank you. It's hilarious. Shout out to Krampus. If you're a brat, then he's coming for you tonight. That's something I would say. So if it is me, which I don't think.
I've never heard of Krampus as a child either. Never heard of that.
You know what it is now, though, don't you?
I do now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just double checking. Anyway, thank you to whoever that is. We really appreciate the super chats. Even if it is me, thanks me, I guess. Anyway, so yeah, that's your shout out. Any others? Merry Christmas, Phil, by the way.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Phil. You're right. That I guess I should have put it that way rather than, hey, remember whenever I defeated you last week.
Remember the fatality at the end of that. Yeah,
we need to do it again, have a rematch, and he can make some questions that are a little more difficult. I think
you need to have a little like soundboard at hand as well to be like perfect at the end, like every time
that's a good idea.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah,
and you win and stuff like that. It'd be so good. So good. And then randomly you have to travel to Japan for one of them, so it's Japan when you go to Japan.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter, I know exactly what you're talking about.
There'll be people going, what is he talking about? I hope not. I hope everyone that watches this understands Street Fighter 2 and so on and so forth. Anyway, that is your shout out.
Yeah.
Also, I want to shout out to you, buddy. Happy Christmas.
Aw. Yeah, that's where you just were like, oh, you don't have anything to say? You didn't wish anyone Happy Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody, and to everybody in the chat. I really appreciate everybody that shows up, and it is nice to be able to read through and see all the comments.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm only joking, Pat, but yeah, that's totally, you're spot on, 100%. To the fam, of course, in the UK and the US. I'm actually with the US fam this very week, so it's been great so far to see everyone and hang out and just having a great time. I'll be calling mom and dad in the UK at some point. They're enjoying a lovely break in Cornwall right now. They've been sending us videos of all the beautiful scenery, and it's actually really sunny there right now as well. So having a great time. Love you very much, everybody. And obviously I don't have to shout out the US fam necessarily, because shout out to the US fam. They can probably hear that, so it's fine. Right then. My next one, Brian Sauer, for the amazing Christmas graphics. Haven't mentioned that yet, have I? Christmas graphics for this one. Pat, you might not have recognized what we're rocking here. Do you recognize the pattern first and foremost?
This isn't a take on Chuckles, is it?
No, this is not a Chuckles take. It's a bit of a deep cut, but at the same time, you wouldn't think it was a deep cut, but it's a deep cut because of the pattern. And I must admit, when anyone in the comments know what's going on, guys, let me know in the comments if you recognize the pattern that Brian has used for our Christmas, not the color scheme. The color scheme is obviously green and not green and red on the figure.
It's not slice, is it?
Not slice. But that's a good shout, because like the tiny little, no, it's not that.
Those are more star-shaped.
This is on the upper body of the figure. It is related to the weather we're having at the moment, by the way. And obviously Christmas, because winter. That gives you another idea of who it could be. This is good. This is like a quiz in itself, Pat. You didn't think you were going to be working this one out today. I didn't get it either, by the way. Brian sent me the stuff, and he's like, "What do you think?" And I'm like,
"I'm trying to remember which of the Arctic figures has this on them." Because now that you say that, it's not Windchill, I don't think.
No, it's not Windchill.
It's the Battlecore Iceberg.
It is Iceberg version 2, baby cakes, 100%. Now this pattern on Iceberg version 2 is obviously he's got the white base and then this like slightly gray kind of pattern like this basically over. And if you don't believe me, because I was like, I had to chat to look it up and go, really? Yeah, it does. So yeah, there you go. We got it in the end. No one mentioned it in the comments, so I don't think anyone knew. So yeah, good shout. Good work on Brian there for getting a proper deep cut in there. But yeah, there you go. And we'll be switching obviously to winter graphics after this week. And you'll be seeing this pattern again, but in a different deco, because obviously we're doing the Christmas stuff this week. So thank you, Brian, for all your hard work. He's also been hard at work doing our monthly new. We're doing a new monthly scheme as well for the graphics that will happen on New Year's Day. So thank you, Brian, for all your hard work. Shout out to Paddy and Brian. Just calling out Total Action Force Volume 1, the soft cover again. The Kickstarter should be happening sometime in the new year, early as well, I think possibly in January or February, but we don't know for sure yet. But keep an eye on that happening. I want to shout out Skeledrones. I want to scout Skeletron, the RoboSkull Mark II, and the Skeledrones. I did an unboxing of these. Pat's got his in the background there. There they are. Lovely little creatures in the box there. Fantastic figures. They came in. Yeah, if you want to check out my unboxing of that, that's on the channel right now. I had a lot of fun messing around with Dusty on my desk as well, getting attacked by Skeledrones. And the real fun part is the fact that those blast effects fit in the little paw underneath, so you can get some fun little shots of them like taking off and all that kind of stuff. Lots of fun to be had. So, yeah, thank you very much. And what else have I got? Oh, yeah, Skeletron. That's another thing to mention. Closes December 31st, the pre-order store. So make sure you get whatever you want ordered before the 31st. Only what? Can't count. 7 days? Yeah, only about a week away. So get in on that, guys, as soon as you can. And that's it. Thank you to all. I didn't change the last image, so we've still got last. We've got the full weekly image going on here. But, you know, it's just been an absolute rush to get this stuff done, so people probably wouldn't have even noticed, would they, Pat, if I'd not said
anything. If you hadn't pointed it out, I don't think that I would have noticed.
Classic McLeod
in front of me.
Anyway, thank you to all our patrons, all the listeners, all the viewers, everyone that comments, all of our amazing super chats, guys. We really appreciate all of the support. Thank you so much. We hope you have a fantastic holiday, whether it's whatever it is that you're celebrating this part of the year, or if you're just, you know, chilling out, if you're not even doing anything, and I hope you have a good time. Pat, I know you're working tomorrow, which is absolutely terrible.
Well, no, it's fine. It gives me something to do on Christmas. I don't like the stress of having to have specific things to do on specific days. So I kind of like the fact that my family just figures things out somewhere near Christmas.
In August, yeah, July, we get this done and then we don't think about it for the rest of the time. No, that's cool, man. And I hope you have a good day tomorrow is all I'm going to say. And I'll wish you a merry Christmas, even if it won't be one necessarily. But yeah, anyway. And Matthew Matson, I don't hate you, so you don't have to write that. I don't hate you at all. Thanks for all the comments, guys. I know you've been chatting away in there as well, so you know, awesome. Have a great Christmas, have a lovely time, whatever you're doing, and we will see you actually very soon. We've got the monthly dropping as soon as I can get it edited, and so that'll be happening on New Year's Day. In actual fact, I think we have a weekly before that, don't we?
Yeah, because the weekly will be the 31st next
yeah
week.
So we'll have a weekly next week that Pat and I will be
probably be reminding people, hey, today's the last day for
Skeletron pre-order store.
Yeah,
there you go, good shout. Oh, Ed, for goodness sake, thank you, buddy. Merry Christmas to all, and wow, full force you. A good night. Thank you very much, Ed. You're an absolute star. We really appreciate all the support, like I said. And yeah, we will see you on the next one. Right, you know what to do at the end of all these episodes, guys. Stay fresh, cheese bags, of course. You've got to make sure you stay fresh on this very cold period of the weather. We'll see you on the next one. After three, Pat, you know what to do. One, two, three.
Full force.
Ladies, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.